Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12 o'clock. The best hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the Show Hughley. That there's Joshua Lamont. Vern, your Steve Serta is producing this bad boy. Remember, Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the Fix and Flip Guys at kclendguy.com. You are listening to The Fast.
How about you give that website one more time, man?
The Fix and Flip Guys at kclend.com. All right. You're listening to the, for now, the fastest growing, longest running midday sports show in all of Kansas City radio. And remember, the most electrifying segment in all of sports entertainment in Kansas City radio, Useless Predictions, is coming up at the bottom of the hour. And judging by the start of this, it should be awful.
No. You just asked me a question during that
break.
Should
be awful.
I'm really interested in what's, if you would have asked that question to Steve, what he would say.
I don't want to ask it.
Because you know he has a reason.
I just want him to really be thinking about what it is, because I do think he would have the answer.
Immediately have an answer.
Immediately.
And it'd be a complete BS.
That
out
he's
of
not
his
100%
ass.
Of.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you don't ask me right now, then I don't care. I'm not going to spend time thinking about it.
That's fine. Yes, you will. I was going to ask, but since you say you don't care, there's no reason to.
No reason to. Happy Red Friday.
Red Friday. Okay, let's hear it.
All right. Here's the thing. Like, Bob Sutton, he took a lot of the blame, him and Emmett Thomas, and they should have. You could just see overall they ran the defense. You could see they didn't adjust the structure of the defense. They needed to be gone, and they were 90% of the problem.
It's 90% Bob, maybe 10% Emmett Thomas. Don't put them in the same breath like they're equally culpable.
60-40.
Whatever.
And listen, Vern, here's one thing that I don't know that I completely blame on the coaching staff led by Bob and Emmett. Now, some of it goes towards them, but I don't know that I completely blame them. Dude, this football team last year, especially the back end, the linebackers, and the secondary, they just weren't a very smart football team. Like, you could just tell by little things. It took, like, until the Charger game, week 13, whatever that was, the one where Eric Berry returned, and we saw out there, he was having to get people organized and just get to the spots where they're supposed to line up. This week 13, we know Bob isn't coming up with a new game plan every week the way Belichick is. Bob's just running the same thing over and over and over again. And by week 13, yeah, guys across the secondary, the linebackers, who had to be put in the right places by a guy who had been sitting on the bench for 13 weeks. They had been through training camp, through 13 weeks of the season. We would see mishaps all the time in the back half of the game. Ron Parker, who was on the team for years, knew the defense. Dirty Dan knew the defense. There would be just mishaps, linebackers at times. We would give Hitchens a little bit of a pass because it was his first year. But still, late into the season, they didn't know where to line up. Some of that's coaching, but some of that is smarts of themselves. And they can't have that because the Ravens, I've watched them, they are going to try to manipulate the back end, the linebackers, into getting big plays. I watched them do it to the Cardinals on film. They got a big touchdown from their tight end, Andrews, just because they manipulated and had the secondary for the Cardinals thinking, this game, these guys are going to have to think on the fly. These guys are going to have to be football intelligent, understanding.
There's
who
not
they
as much
have.
Thinking in this defense. I don't believe there's as much the thinking
Ravens
in this
will force
defense.
You to. The Ravens will force you to.
Yeah, you're being, in my opinion, awfully unfair to Bob Sutton.
I'm unfair?
Yeah. Bob Sutton deserves a lot more blame than what you're presenting right now. To present it as if...
What blame do you think I'm giving him?
It seems to me like you're taking blame away from Bob Sutton and putting it on guys on that 2018 defense, on the players, as if it's anything close to a 50-50, 60-40, 70-30 split. It is 90-10 on Bob Sutton, because the hallmark of any great coach is identifying the talent or lack thereof that you have and adjusting accordingly. It's not just adjusting over the course of a game and over the course of a week. It's adjusting over the course of a season. And it took Andy Reid stepping in saying, hey, let's go with Charvarius Ward instead of Orlando Scandrick. You never saw Bob Sutton change up his defense. He continued to say, hey, it worked with Tamba Hali and Justin Houston. It worked back in the day. It works on occasion, so it can work again. Every description of Bob Sutton's defense I heard, it was all about thinking and reacting to what the offense presents pre-snap and then what happens as the play is unfolding. You read and react according to what the tight end, according to what the offensive lineman, where the quarterback goes. There was way too much thinking. And on last year's defense, I mean, you throw out Dan Sorensen. He didn't return until the second half of the season. You bring up Ron Parker. He was only there for the first few games. Eric Berry was basically never there. There was, yes, poor communication, but that's because there were so many guys in that linebacking core and in that secondary that were new to the system, were still learning the system, and were expected to not only just react. To just react would mean that you have a full grasp of the defense, and I don't think that those guys ever had a full grasp of the defense. Sean Barber used to tell us, that defense is great if you've been in it for a while, and the guys that you're lining up alongside have been in it for a while. And last year's linebacking core and secondary, it was a hodgepodge of talent.
Listen, I'm not going to say some of it doesn't fall on the coaching staff for not having them ready. But I think you're, Big Dog, I think you're giving them too much credit and giving them too much of a pass.
What players?
I'm talking about the
players. Hitchens?
Hitchens, Reggie, Steve Nelson, Dan. All of those guys, to be to a point where...
And it's not just that they weren't good. It's not just that they weren't talented and the coaching didn't attempt to get the most out of them.
That is a piece of it.
That's all
but
of
they,
it.
No, it's not all of it. They weren't football intelligent, man. If you, by week 13, have to have a guy come off the bench, you've been through training camp, you know Bob doesn't change his defense. Through training camp, you don't know where the lineup at. That, to me, shows either your lack of focus or your football intelligence. That at week 13, you don't line up. You don't know where to line up. Now, all of those other things that you said about Bob were right. And I'm not trying to just say that takes away 30% of it. But if you have players back here who in 13 weeks, and really it's like 20-plus
weeks,
but
even when Barry
don't
was
know
out
where
there,
to
they,
line up.
Ron, they were still getting burned when Barry was out there in the first half. The Chargers just would drop the ball or Phil didn't make the throw. Let's not act as if Eric Berry came in and everything started to flow. That's not how it went.
I'm not saying that everything started to flow. I'm talking about when Eric Berry returned.
Right,
we
because
had
this,
a guy.
Sure,
we,
but the safeties that were in there prior to Eric Berry were A, not that talented, and B, they were thinking. That's why they weren't communicating.
But that's fine. But even not just the safeties. Anybody else by week 13, you don't know where to line up. That guy shouldn't have to come in and coach you on where to line up. He shouldn't have to stop you.
Because
on where
who
to
should
line
have done
up.
It first? The coaches.
Don't just put that on coaches, man. You play football your whole life.
Well, then what
dude.
Are we doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
What's the coach's job if it's not to get guys aligned properly and to make sure that they know where they're supposed to be? If they don't know where they're supposed to be, well, then you better spend more time with them during the week, or you better change the defense to make it not so freaking complicated.
There are high school kids. Who by 13 weeks.
They weren't running a high school defense.
There are high school kids by 13 weeks that should know where they are standing. They should know where they are.
Because a coach should simplify it if you're having boneheaded decisions.
But you play football your whole life. We get 13 weeks into a season. Somebody else who hasn't played all year just got to come in and line you up.
What's the percentage then? How much of last year's defensive miscues do you put on the fact that they didn't have football intelligent players?
I think 15-20%. And I think that's a problem. That's a problem when you combine that with the coaching they got. That's a problem. And if you come in and they're playing that way in this game with how much the Ravens play, and that's with them playing every day against this Chiefs offense, who makes you think about things, who makes you have to react to a lot of stuff. If they come into this game not being football intelligent, they're going to get hurt.
Ron, Pat torched them when he was the scout team quarterback. What do you think he was doing to them in practice last year? To me, that's Bob. Bob, I don't think they looked good last year in practice against Pat, because I know the year before that they didn't look good in practice against Pat. They weren't prepared. And to me, that's, again, a reflection. And I'm glad to hear you're at least putting 80 to 85% of it on the coaching.
I didn't say it wasn't. But come on, man. Like, I see this right here, listener 420. It's 100% on Sutton. It's coaching. They didn't know where to line up because their coaches never taught these guys. Stop it, man. We went to training camp. They taught those guys. You're professionals. You're professionals. Like, you shouldn't have to have a guy come in.
I don't know. A guy that played in the defense was very understanding of the issues. Sean Barber understood that these guys were out there thinking and not a one of them could react. Yeah, but and that's why you saw it.
If Sean, you might have been thinking that's one thing, but to know where you're supposed to be lining up 13 weeks in the season, I bet you if we had Sean on right now, he would say that's inexcusable.
Yeah,
some of that's, well, of course.
You know, he's done with us. Hey, coming up on Sunday, I mean, you didn't help.
Yeah, I don't think he liked you that much.
Yeah,
Sean, he did too like me, man. We were really growing.
You know that.
I think it's
true.
Pete's fault, be honest with
Speaking
you.
Speaking of Pete, catch Peter Sweeney and Kent Swanson. They did a great job last week. We'll see if it can continue. The Arrowhead Pride tailgate show, 10 a.m. this Sunday, getting you ready for the Chiefs and the Ravens. And then after the game, again, they did a great job last week. We'll see if it can continue. Jay Binkley and Pete Sweeney have you with the post-game show. That's all starting at 10 a.m. following Serta's Fantasy Show, which begins at 9 a.m. right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah, I love this. We're off to a great start. Useless predictions coming up here in a bit. I'm glad we can have this conversation. I love to have conversations with you guys and the Show and Vern family, because we have honest things, and you can tell me how you feel. I think many of you have, over this past year plus, have gotten used to us and can understand, like, yeah, we can have conversations. I want you all to tell me, Vern, if I am overthinking this. I'm looking at the Chiefs' run game, and I don't think it is imperative for them to improve their run game for them to get to where they want to get to. I think their passing game is so special that they can get there on that. But I think it can be very important to one person, and that is Eric Bieniemy, Vern. Eric Bieniemy, it's a shame before God. He's not a head coach right now. He should be a head coach. There are people who got jobs over him that are not more qualified than him. Listen, if you're going to be honest with yourself and being real, he's playing in a different playing field than others. And I don't think that he is going to get the same credit that his predecessors, Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson, got as being an offensive mind in terms of having a lot of input and being the reason why these offenses have been as dominant as they have been. Those were quarterback coaches. He was a running back coach. I think that he doesn't get the same type of credit that they will for many a reasons. Mm-hmm. If this running game continues to be bad, because it's been bad, if this running game continues to struggle like this, am I overthinking it to think this could be an issue for him getting a head coaching job? Because I think he will potentially get looked at a certain way because the running game
is struggling.
They keep
averaging less than 2 yards a carry.
He's the running back guru. I think that's been where he made his mark.
I think he's already in.
You think so?
I think he's already in the room right now. And look, I understand that it is.
Because he should be a head coach right now. There are guys who got jobs who shouldn't have.
Sure. Yeah, he's got it 5, 10, 15, 20 times harder than Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy, not just because of the running back thing, but also I know there aren't owners that would come out and say it, but there's some preconceived notion, some buried deep down. I don't want to say that any owners have an issue with hiring an African-American head coach, but I don't think it's a coincidence that there's three African-American, there's three minority coaches, period, in all of the NFL. I don't think it's that the owners are necessarily racist. I would say that owners just have their, again, preconceived notions and their stereotypes that are buried deep within them. But as far as the running back thing, as far as if the Chiefs' running game never gets off the ground, now I think we're past that. I think it's now him proving that I can handle a superstar quarterback. If Patrick Mahomes is able to duplicate.
So you think he gets the credit for that? I feel like that goes more to Andy than Peterson or Nagy.
He doesn't get the credit. He'll never get the credit that Peterson and Nagy got. Like, I haven't heard anyone make a claim that Bieniemy's calling plays at any point, preseason or regular season, end of season. But yeah, he's going to get some credit for Pat, just that you were around Andy, you were around Pat, you were in those meetings, you were in those film studies. I think just the presence of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I feel like that took place last year. He did the interviews, and he's now in the room. It's just someone needs to open up the door and welcome him into their organization. He's like in queue right now to be a head coach.
If I'm overthinking it, I'll take that. I feel like there.
If this was last year, I'm with you.
Him not having a job, Vern, I feel like people are looking for an excuse. And to me, the Chiefs' run game, he's supposed to be a run guru, and their run game is bad. That could be a strike towards him.
Last year.
Okay.
Right, last year's his first year as offensive coordinator, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, last year, if the run game falls off, it's Andy did all of this with the quarterback, and Bieniemy's expertise has fallen off. But because they were solid both running and throwing last year, I feel like Eric Bieniemy has already checked all the boxes to get into the room to await some owner welcoming into their organization. Yeah, Bieniemy will be, should be, better be a head coach at this time next year.
All right, if I'm overthinking it, if you think I'm overthinking it, I will accept it. But that was the part that was in my mind, like, man, I hope this running game isn't something that holds him back from being a head coach, because he just flat should be one.
No question.
Right now. All right, we do this each and every week. At this time, we call this useless predictions.
Okay. These are the most useless predicaments in sports. Brought to you by my nephew. Oh, prediction. S-O-N. Okay. These are the most useless predictions in sports. Brought to you by my nephew.
Ah, here we go, Vern. Week 3, bitches. Let's get it going, baby. I'm ready to go. Let's kick this thing off with these useless predictions. I'm going to start in Buffalo, New York. Bengals at Bills. And this one is very simple. It is easy. I don't believe history will be broken on Sunday. And it's because of you, John Ross III. I am going with the Bills. Woo! Never has a team in the regular season ever won when they had a wide receiver who was British. And I don't believe it's going to start now. I don't believe that John Ross is going to be the first British receiver to ever win a regular season game. They are now 0-34, most of that because of John Taylor of the San Francisco 49ers. He was British. They never won. Because of that, I believe that the Buffalo Bills will go in and defeat the Cincinnati Bengals because of John Ross III, 17-7.
I don't think he's British.
Yeah, he's from Long Beach, California.
He's British. And next, 17-7, damn it, he is British. So is John Taylor. Look it up. And next, Giants Bucks. Woo! I'm picking the New York football Giants. It has nothing to do with Eli sitting on the bench. One of my useless prediction sources got me the real tea, baby. Oh, this is what he said, Vern. He said, I found out that Saquon Barkley's brother, Charles, has been a cheerleader for the Buccaneers for years. 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 And Charles has been secretly video recording the Buccaneers practices. As soon as I heard that, and I heard that Charles was there, I knew I gotta go with the Giants. because of Charles, he's one of the best cheerleaders in the league and spies in the leagues as well. I'm going to go with the Giants. I think they go on the road in Raymond James Stadium and they win 27-20. Shout out to Charles Barkley, his brother. And next, Steelers Niners. Whoa! Right now, James Conner is a game time decision. Because of that, I'm going to have to go with the Niners. James Conner has a second job and he works for Mercy Hospital in Pittsburgh. And he has to go in. There is no other way that he could miss. He's got to get his first aid and CPR certification renewed.
Sure.
And this is the only chance and only time they have scheduled for him to be able to do it. And so he's going to miss the game because of that, at least a game time decision. I don't think he's going to be able to get out of it. Some of you are wondering why the hell does he have to work at Mercy Hospital? It's very simple. He and his wife love the daycare program that they use, and they have to have a member work at Mercy Hospital to
really
be able to be able to. I know it. I've got sources to be able to use the daycare system. Because of that, he's not going to be able to get out of first aid, and he's really good at CPR as well. Save two children. I think the Niners are going to win this without James Conner. That's the difference in the game, and a close one, 28-21. And finally, nobody, and the show means nobody, walks into Indianapolis, Indiana, and gets a win. Nobody walks into the RCA Dome. Nobody walks into Lucas Oil Stadium. Nobody walks into Conseco/Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Nobody walks into Victory Field. Nobody walks into Michael A. Carroll Soccer Stadium. Nobody walks into Hinkle Fieldhouse. Nobody walks into the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Nobody walks into Hinkle Fieldhouse. Nobody walks into Lawrence Township Public Schools Stadium right outside of Indianapolis, Indiana. Nobody walks into the greatest steakhouse in the world, St. Elmo Steakhouse, 127 Illinois Street in Indianapolis, Indiana, 46225. Nobody walks into St. Elmo. Josh A., he said this, me and my girlfriend and I decided to go here for our 11-month anniversary. During our dinner, I planned out a proposal for her, and that's what I was going to do. Our waiter paid little to no attention to us. He scowled at us and said, congratulations only to me and not her. We chose this place as a part of our special day, and it was unfortunately missing the warmth and hospitality that we previously enjoyed here. Good food, not enjoying our special day. I will never have a special day here again. If you are going to get engaged, this is the worst place in the world to do it, because he won't congratulate you, and they will give you quick looks and hard looks and force you to show you their IDs to get celebratory drinks that I had to pay for myself. Nobody walks into St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, Indiana, and gets a win. That's why I got them beating the Falcons 25-14. And that is our useless predictions. Woo! I need a drink.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Back to Show and Burn. 25 straight minutes of sports entertainment starts now.
That's right, I'm doing it. I'm putting the show's stamp of approval on this game Sunday. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm not a Ravens fan. I watch football every week. And I've watched football for almost 30 years. And this is just a horrible matchup, even when the Chiefs are not at full strength. This, Vern, is a horrible matchup for the Ravens. I don't think it's going to be close. Many people view this as the game of the weekend, and I can understand. Lamar Jackson has been amazing the first 2 weeks. I don't give a damn who he's played against. He's been amazing the first 2 weeks. His numbers, in a lot of cases, are as good or better than Patrick Mahomes. And they're a well-run organization. Baltimore has been really good for years. I get it. The Chiefs have injuries to their left tackle, their most dynamic player, their running back situation. Their starting running back probably won't play Sunday. I get it. But I'm telling you right now, this game's not going to be close. All right, this is just a bad matchup. Much like you can think about this in sports. Think about college football. I think LSU, as you could even argue, they've had a top five program in the last 10, 15 years. They've got as much talent as anybody else. Go look at some of the guys in the league. So much talent on that team. And they've won a lot of games. Les Miles won 77% of his games at LSU. Big one on Saturday against West Virginia. Won 77% of his games at LSU. They could not handle Alabama when they had Nick Saban. As Nick Saban has been there, once they got him, they just could not beat that team. It was just a bad matchup for them. Like they beat them probably – they probably beat them less than three times in the last 15 years since Saban has been there, however long Saban's been there. And they play them once every year, home and road. They just cannot solve that team. And I feel like that's what it is for the Ravens and the Chiefs. And plus you add, this is one of those games where the Chiefs are going to be up. The intensity level is going to be up. It's the home opener here at Arrowhead. It's the first game out that some of these new guys have played here. They are going to be juiced. There is not going to be any, you got to get them going like you had to. There's not going to be no slow start like they had against the Raiders.
This sounds a lot like what you were saying before that Thursday night game.
This game is not going to be close.
Okay, no,
it's not.
Look, I agree. I said it on Specs podcast. It was my pick this week on Little Show and Uncle Vern. Right, but just as you kept going, it just reminded me of the last time you put the show stamp of approval on a Chiefs game, and it was the...
I didn't put it on that.
Oh, you said I would accept the show curse if the Chiefs don't win this game, and that, of course, being the Chargers game last year, Thursday, Tony G, Eric Berry's return. I'm with you. I think it's rather simple why. It's not so much about the matchup. I'm not disagreeing with your points, but I think it's rather simple. I just am not a believer of Lamar Jackson yet. If you're going to beat Patrick Mahomes, not only does your defense have to show the ability to get off the mat after he lands a few of those haymakers, but your quarterback and your offense has to be able to throw a few of those haymakers in return. We talked about it earlier this week, and Patrick Mahomes and an Andy Reid offense is the NFL's version of young Mike Tyson, where you got to go 12 rounds and outlast this offense, go toe-to-toe with them and swing with them. Stand in the center of the ring and just go at it. I don't believe Lamar Jackson has the goods to go up against Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how good his defense is, and even on that front, I wonder how great that defense is.
And listen, the Ravens are a good football team. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see them, the Chiefs have to see them again in the playoffs. I think they'll win that division now that we've now evidence that we've learned now with that. I think they'll probably win that division.
But there are a lot of good teams in the NFL that are not in the class of New England and Kansas City.
There's some, and I think there are some teams that I can manufacture in my mind that they could, like I could see Houston easier in a way. I can envision them beating the Chiefs more than I can envision the Ravens. I just think they're just an awful matchup. Because we haven't had to see it yet. I can't trust Lamar trailing. Because this is how I see it happening. The Chiefs are going to get up two scores like they did against the Raiders. They're going to get up two scores. And then you get to a place where you start to eliminate the best thing that the Ravens do. And when the Chiefs can get to dictate by their offense getting up multiple scores in the game, and you know, I got to score, not threes, I got to score touchdowns,
right?
Because if I don't, even if I take, now I'm taking up clock, I'm taking up time, and I don't score touchdowns, and I give this joker the ball back, and he runs right back down there, and now I'm down near three scores. I don't trust Lamar right now. Now, if I'm proven otherwise, that's something different. But I don't trust Lamar to be down, and you know he's got to throw to be able to throw with the same conviction and the same accuracy that he's been able to do in these first two games. These first two games, they've been up comfortable, and they could dictate how they run offense. I think the Chiefs' offense will dictate how they run offense, and that lies the problem and why the Chiefs are an awful matchup for the Ravens.
Chiefs favored by 6 right now.
And that ain't enough.
What would you put it at? What would that number have to be for you to bet on the Ravens?
I don't know things that well. It had to be double digits. 10, 11.
Because Vegas has it as Chiefs are favored by 6. It's one of 4 games with that kind of a spread. The Bills are favored by 6 at home against the Bengals. Eagles are favored by 6 at home against the Lions. And the Buccaneers are favored by 6 at home against the New York Giants. So that's how comfortable Vegas is. They're as comfortable in the Chiefs as they are this weekend in the Eagles, in the Buccaneers, and the Buffalo
Bills.
And I
know you tried to clip my wings with the bringing up the Thursday night game.
Well, once you started bringing up the fans, that's what reminded me, because you were talking about the energy that Arrowhead would add to this game. And, I mean, that was not that big of a factor in that game against the Chargers. So I'm wondering if this Sunday will really be any different.
Well, they were 7-1 at Arrowhead last year. All the, you know, in the regular season, every other game it worked.
Hold up. That was their... No, I mean, they lost in the AFC title.
I said
game.
In a regular season, they were 7-1.
No, I was just thinking if the only time they lost at home was when you were in the building.
No.
Because you didn't go to the AFC title game.
No, I didn't
go to
that game. No. Listen, Ron? I didn't. Okay. I'm just saying, this is even different for me. Like, there was the fan coming out of me as well last year in that Thursday night game. I'm not no fan. Now, this is just coming from me watching football and understanding matchups. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care who wins. I won't lose sleep over it at all. I'm just saying, looking at these matchups, you can just see it's an awful matchup, even without Tyreek Hill and Eric Fisher for the Ravens.
One thing, and Sam Mellinger had a great piece in today's Kansas City Star about the home opener. And this is the home opener that Kansas Cityans have waited a lifetime for with this quarterback and this coach and these expectations. Reading that, I came away with two thoughts. I wondered if Chiefs fans are now finally to a place where they just accept that this is the new normal. And I wonder if people that are either lifelong Chiefs fans or have lived here their entire lives and have followed the Kansas City Chiefs, I wonder if this season, this home opener that we're about to witness coming up on Sunday, I'm wondering if this season is making you feel silly about truly believing that Alex Smith could lead you to the Super Bowl, to believe that Steve Bono could lead you to the Super Bowl, that those Trent Green teams or even the Joe Montana teams. Like this year, you're right. You are a Super Bowl contender. I'm wondering if you look back and go, man, I believed that team back then was a Super Bowl championship caliber ball club. But man, 2019's 53-man roster teaches me that that team had no chance. This is what a true Super Bowl contender looks like.
Yeah, I was really young during the Montana years. I remember the run in 93, I can remember being at the Knife's house and watching the Houston game and then watching the Buffalo game. But my memory of a Chiefs fan where I can really remember thinking things through about was like 95, the 97 team. I think people thought since they were the number one seed that they were real true, like Super Bowl contenders. And even then, Vern, I at that point could understand their quarterback problem. I could understand, like, they needed their defense to carry them the way through. And defenses were able to do that a little bit more in the 90s then. But still, like, you could look and see Steve Bono. You could look and see
Because I'll
Elvis
tell you,
Gerbach.
Someone that didn't live here, I never thought the Chiefs had a chance to win
the
a Super
only
Bowl
time,
growing up.
You're right. The only time, during the Alex Smith years, never. I never could convince myself to think he can beat both the Steelers and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Even as a hardcore fan. As a hardcore fan then of the Chiefs, I could convince myself he could get one of them. The Chiefs and Andy could get one of them. I couldn't convince myself they could beat them both back-to-back weeks. They'd need somebody else to knock them off. The closest and only time, and I think a lot of my fandom at the time creeped in, was probably the 03 team. I thought that offense was such a machine, much like I see this one, and I thought like they could control the game so much that you just couldn't catch up to them. And then they just had players on the defense that at times had a knack that could make turnovers, right? And I thought that 03 team was a Super Bowl contender. But the last 2 years are really the first one.
Yeah, text line. Protein LZ with a purpose, text line 69306. No listener number, but from the 417, no, Vern, I never felt silly. When that's the team presented to you, you believe in that squad. I understand. Now, that makes perfect sense. Yes, when you're in it in 2003, you said? When you're in it, yeah, you this is the best team ever. We got a chance to win the Super Bowl. Now, being here in 2019 with arguably the best team in the NFL, yeah, I believe I would, you know, look back and go, oh, wow, man, this team is so far head and shoulders better than that 03 team, than that 94 team. Man, I really got myself worked up for a ball club that, in hindsight, really didn't have a chance. Like, this year's team, to me, this is the new norm in Kansas City, Super Bowl or bust kind of seasons, where every single year it's a disappointment if you don't win. I feel like this should be eye-opening for a lot of Chiefs fans.
Listener 17, how old was Ron in 95 trying to say he was analyzing football when he was 8? I was 11, and yes, I could tell that Steve Bono at 11 was worse than Neil O'Donnell. I could tell at 13, 14 in 1997 that John Elway, who I watched break the Chiefs' heart repeatedly, was better than Elvis Gerbeck. Yeah, I could at that age.
Never in my entire life have I really looked at them like they were legitimately going to go win a Super Bowl. Mm. I think
because when does your time frame start?
I mean, like, I was in 93 with Montana. I was 4 years old.
So it doesn't start
like,
there.
No. But, like, I have watched games from that year, though. I've gone back. I've read the books about those games. Like, I loved that era, even though I was too young to really appreciate it. But, yeah, it's like, you know, the first team that I really, really remember is that 03 team. And their defense was so terrible, and I was playing football at the time and starting to understand the concepts and all of that. Like, I knew they weren't good enough. And even with Alex, I think Alex's last year was the year that I tried hardest to convince myself they could beat the Patriots if things fell their way. But, like, looking back on it now, yes, I agree that it looks ridiculous because with Patrick Mahomes, you now see what all of these other Super Bowl franchises right. have already had, and you understand, oh, yeah, we were just lying to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Or believing this is as good as it can get. And now here in 2019, this is the new normal, and get used to Super Bowl or bust every single season for at least the next decade.
Because, see, Vern, I don't think you can say, yeah, we're really in your mind feel like we're real Super Bowl contenders when Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson are your quarterback until right. it happens.
Right.
Like, until it just does happen and stuff starts falling your way and it's like, oh, it can happen.
Right.
And I didn't feel that way.
No question.
You get the last word, 913-576-7610. If you have any thoughts on this, you can get the last word. Vern, I will say this. We've heard this a lot about leading into this in the last couple of days or not. Is, like, this could be the next big rivalry between the Ravens and the Chiefs. These two young quarterbacks could be the next thing that potentially could be. People keep the Brady Manning. I don't think we'll ever see that again. If I had to choose, I do think Deshaun, obviously I think Pat is head and shoulders over everyone in terms of young quarterbacks. I do think Deshaun is a better quarterback than Lamar. I think Baker's a better quarterback than Lamar. I think Sam Darnold's got a chance. There are young quarterbacks in the AFC. But if I had to guess and pick right now from what we see and who's running organization, I think these two, the Chiefs and the Ravens, probably have the best chance to do it because their organizations are run well. And then the divisions that they're in are, I would say, the rest of them either are run poorly or okay. And I think that's a huge advantage for them. I think in New England, I think you're going to see, I don't think over the next 10 to 12 years that Brady's going to play. And I think Belichick, who's pushing 70, may shut it down, especially when Brady leaves. Yeah, I think if I had to choose right now, those would be the two. Those would be the two teams that I'd say, yep, they probably would be there as the top two teams in the AFC moving forward.
I'll give you.
Houston's the one you could see. I just don't like their organizational plan of we're going to fire the GM, leave it up to Bill O'Brien, and then just keep having Bill O'Brien because he's going to be the death of Deshaun. Because Deshaun's a special player.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there is. I don't think I could pick another team. John Harbaugh's a fantastic coach, but you are only as good as your quarterback, and I don't know about Lamar Jackson yet. He hasn't proven really much to me just yet. Belichick, even without Brady, I think he'll be able to scheme up one hell of a defense. So I'm not going to count them out. 10, 12 years down the line, I think it's just so difficult to predict. To say that it is Baltimore, yeah, maybe. Lamar could show me something on Sunday before I buy into that.
Yeah, I'm just talking about in the future. It could be. Those would be the two. All right, you get the last word. Rick and Casey, go ahead. What's your thoughts, Rick?
Well, I'm almost 60 years old, and I've seen the Super Bowl they won, and I'm telling you right now, Kansas City ought to thank their lucky stars what we have right now with Andy Reid, Mahomes, and Travis Kelce and everything, because we sit out there with as fans in some miserable, miserable season. Thank you.
No All question. Right, thanks, Rick. And I've been surprised at Kansas City's unwillingness to embrace the new normal. I've noticed a lot of Chiefs fans are still in the, like he said, man, I'm just so very thankful that we have Patrick Mahomes and that this is the new normal. I think it's a direct reflection on the quality of people in Kansas City, to be quite honest. I think it's very Midwestern to not go, okay, we got him, let's go. We're still, many people in the area are still in the, man, I'm just so grateful, and I love this dude, and he can do no wrong. We're yet to turn the page to a point of, yeah, we know we got him. Now I want some damn rings. I think it's very Midwestern, in my opinion.
From the text line here, so you guys saying Alex couldn't, but Dilfer and Flacco can, makes no sense. Listener number 13. Nobody said they can't. I think Jimmy Garoppolo could win a Super Bowl. I don't think anyone thinks the Niners are Super Bowl contenders. I don't see that. All right, Big T, you get the last word.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think everybody, you know, it's our home opener. And I don't think we really have much to worry about, man. Home openers, it's going to be woolly and wild. The fans are going to be excited. If you heard John Gruden, you know, and I know a lot of people think John Gruden's, you know, kind of lost it. But if you heard him talk about the Chiefs team, he says, that offense, you got to be able to defend every blade of grass. Well, I haven't seen a defense in the damn NFL that could do that. So don't worry. Go Chiefs. I'm calling it 38-24. And what you going to do when Mahomes goes running wild on you, Baltimore? Nothing. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Go Chiefs.
All right, Big T with the last word, 38-24. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
Over the weekend, the Jayhawks' first Big 12 game of the season.
Let's go. They will
be taking on the West Virginia Mountaineers in Lawrence.
The first what of the season?
Big 12 game.
Said big game.
Listen, they're all big. If Kansas wants to get out of the Section 8 Department of College Football, which means they are at the complete bottom of the food chain, I'm not going to say any game they play right now is must win, but this one is a game where they need to be really competitive. This should be a game where at least they go down if they lose with a chance to try to be in it or win it at the end of the game. They have to be in it against this West Virginia team. After what they did last week to that team on the road in Boston College, West Virginia is a team that's struggling as well. They got blown out by Missouri. They came back and got a nice win against NC State, but they are not a great football team. And that's a game at home. They expect to have a good crowd. I'm still thinking about going out there. They expect to have a good crowd. Kansas, if you're going to get out of the bottom of the food chain, they've got to be able to be at least competitive in these games at home.
The latest episode of that ESPN Plus show, Miles to Go,
is so good.
After Carter Stanley's first interception against Boston College, you can see the offensive coordinator of KU, Les Koenig, say, quote, I'll give him one more series. And didn't Carter Stanley go on to play pretty well?
Oh, he went off. Yeah, he went off. He had a...
Good job you guys are doing this show. Just let the kid know, hey, we never believed in you. We were about to turn our back on you in the biggest win that we've had in like 15 years. What a mess.
It can't be a mess, Bird. They just went on the
You just trashed your quarterback on ESPN.
He was struggling. All right?
So now he knows that I'm an interception away from being pulled?
No, he had a really, really awful game against Coastal Carolina the week before.
He did.
And then his first possession.
So he's a bad game away from being pulled.
He threw a really bad interception. You can understand why they may go to a different direction. You can't say it's a record. I'm not even going to. You're doing this to try to get me. Can't say it's a record. They went on the road and beat Boston College, a bowl team last year, by 24. Go to hell.
Go to hell?
Andy Reid is supposed to be live right here on Show and Burn coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.